This episode of the Out of Bounds podcast is brought to you by Fisher Skis. Hello, hello, hello. Welcome to the Out of Bounds podcast. My name is Adam Jabber, and we have an excellent episode today for you with Gus Schumacher. Gus is a very young, very athletic, very cool Nordic skier, which I feel like I haven't said before on this show. And I also feel like you don't hear like Nordic and cool that much. But this dude's cool. I mean, he's rad. I really enjoyed talking to him. And I hope that, that comes across. And I also want to mention, like, I don't know that much about Nordic. Like, obviously I know a lot about Alpine. I know a lot about the disciplines that I'm used to working in, but Nordic is just, it's newer for me. So, I apologize for my learning curve, I guess, as we go through this, because I'm not the most knowledgeable in Nordic, but I'm getting the chance to learn from somebody like Gus here. Who seemingly knows everything. The dude is very impressive. I've talked to him before on the Snow Report show, and this time he's just on the real podcast. So we talk about training. We talk about, you know, one big ski that he did the day before we recorded this. We talk about all kinds of things. So I hope you guys enjoy it. Before we jump into this episode, we have a new sponsor for this week, and that is Blizz Eyewear. Blizz makes some awesome athletic eyewear for you. If you're into skiing, if you're into Nordic, if you're into riding bikes, especially, they make an awesome product across the board. I've been using the Fusion, which seems to be great for riding mountain bikes, especially because I have like a lighter lens on it, high contrast, and I've really been enjoying it. So quality is super high, and it's a product that I can stand behind for sure. So thank you to those guys for sponsoring this episode of the show. If you're interested in checking out that stuff and getting a smoking deal, you can get 40% off and free shipping on your Blizz order, which is ridiculous, at enjoywinter.com. You just have to use promo code OUTOFBOUNDS40. The O is capital, the B is capital, and 40 is a number. So that's that. I hope you guys go check the stuff out. If you see something you like, go for it. Like I said, I'm using the Fusion. There's a bunch of different color options, light options, lens options. I'm super impressed with what this is. And honestly, it's super easy to change the lenses out. So you have a couple different lens choices for whatever you're going to do. So once again, that is promo code OUTOFBOUNDS40 at enjoywinter.com for 40% off and free shipping. So if you're going to try some new shades, highly recommend. 40 off is about as good, or goggles actually too. If you're going to try some new shades, this is a great time to do it. 40 off is about as good as it gets. So hope you guys do that. Be sure to like, rate, review, whatever on the show in iTunes or Apple Podcasts. If you're a Spotify listener, just keep listening. Tell your friends about the show if you enjoy it, and we'll keep growing this thing as much as we can. And I'll talk to you guys on Tuesday after this episode, of course. I think that's it. Is that it? Cool. Enjoy. Gus Schumacher. Gus, who are you? Tell people a little bit about yourself, and then we'll take it from there.
My name is Gus Schumacher. I'm an athlete on the U.S. cross-country ski team, and I'm from Anchorage, Alaska. I'm 20 years old.
Nice. Does that make you the youngest person on the U.S. cross-country team?
No. We have a pretty strong D team, development team, so we've got guys my age.
Yeah. Why cross country? Like, I mean, I feel like that's not, and I asked you this the last time we talked when we did the Snow Report show, but like, I want people to hear from you again. And I also still don't know if I fully understand. It's like, what made you get into cross country? Because it's not necessarily the sport that you think of when you're like, oh, what do 20-year-olds do and younger, for a sport? In my head, at least, it's not usually Nordic or cross country.
Yeah. For myself, you mean though?
For yourself, yeah. Why is it for you?
I mean, for me, it started young with my parents getting me on skis, how everyone's parents do, you know, like in the backyard. That looks the same for most kids, and I downhill skied a little too as a kid, but when I started, you know, I played soccer and did all that stuff as like an elementary schooler. And then Anchorage has a pretty strong, like 6 years old to 12 years old junior Nordic program. So I did that, and I think my natural like competitiveness had me just want to keep doing better in that. And then eventually I switched to club skiing and had some success young. So
yeah,
I kind of just like to be fully honest, I just did pretty well and liked it and wasn't, I guess I was exposed to soccer too. And did, I guess I never really alpine skied with like the junior program. So maybe if I was exposed to a bunch more sports, it could have been different. But I never really like second thought it. I just kept liking it and kept trying to get better at it.
Yeah. Not that I feel like I'm, it almost sounds like I'm asking it in a bad way. Like, why would you do cross country? But like, I think it's awesome that you're doing it. Like, I think it's phenomenal that there's somebody that, because you're good on social media, people seem to be fully engaged with you. And when people talk about you as an athlete, you can see them kind of like light up in the way that they do with other athletes in other disciplines of skiing or snowboard. Like, and I haven't seen that so much in the cross country side, but it seems like you have whatever that is. So that's kind of why I'm wondering. And I guess there's also probably not that much to do in Anchorage also, right? Like, and maybe that's being presumptuous too.
I think there's plenty to do. So, but like, yeah, there's less than other places. So you probably do lose fewer kids to other sports, which is like, I think it's just a little bit of chance. Like if I had been in a place that had better mountain biking, but also good Nordic skiing, I maybe would have been a mountain biker. I don't know. I think a lot of like the reason kids choose sports is just like their proximity, and there's no reason for Nordic to be any different really in terms of like athlete personality. I guess it is like, it draws a certain personality, which is what you're talking about there, but it's not like it's Nordic that's making it hard for me to have a social media presence.
Yeah.
It's just most people or more people, I guess.
Yeah.
I guess the personality that's inclined to Nordic is oftentimes a personality that's inclined to just like keeping it within themselves, I guess, which is cool too. And that's how I am a lot of the time, but I also enjoy, I realize what the impact on the sport is when that can be, when social media is used in the best form. So,
and I think it just looks like if you follow you on social, like it looks like you're just having fun. And I think that's the part that I think you see less about. Like everybody, there may be people with more followers than you on social for like in the cross country world, but it's different. It's like race results only. And it's like very like professional. Like you're like, it looks like you're having a good time. Like it just looks like you're out there enjoying yourself. And I think that's really cool.
Yeah. I try to make it not so like ski centric. I mean, it obviously is because that's like what most people follow me for, but like, yeah, I never like, I haven't, you have to subscribe to like the race photo World Cup thing. And it's like, kind of a lot each year, which is why I don't subscribe to it. But I also don't subscribe to it because I don't need that many pictures of myself racing because I don't really want to do that much with them because it's kind of boring. Like for me, like it's cool. Everyone loves to see themselves in an action photo skiing. But when I log on to Instagram after a race weekend and see all of the top 30 World Cup skiers posting the same photo from the same person at the same part of the course, it's a beautiful photo, but it's just like, come on.
The same photo 30 times is still,
And it's like, how much better is that than looking at the results list? Like it's, and everyone's like, oh, didn't go my way. Next weekend we'll fight. And or super thankful to everyone, which like, you kind of got to do that a little bit, but I like being able to find some pictures in my camera roll or like
get some.
It, like that's more fun for me, I think, and I think it's more fun for everyone else too.
Oh, I fully agree. Like for me, it's I'm in the same camp. Like it can be a beautiful photo, like it can be perfect, but same photo 30 times is still the same photo 30 times, and there's definitely value there for certain people, but it's cool to do something unique and different. And it also makes people feel more connected with you, I think, too.
Yeah. Yeah, I guess the pictures that are not as, or that are less public, yeah, are easy. That's like, I guess, sort of definition what makes people feel more connected, because it's more of a window in.
Yeah. What do you do other sports? Like, are there any other sports that interest you? Oh, hang on. Am I losing you here? Are you back? Cool.
Yeah.
Can you hear me okay?
Can you hear me? I can hear you.
Yeah. All right. Yeah. This is the world we live in. This is the way it is. We cut out sometimes on podcasts, and that's it is what it is. So, Do you do other sports? Like, are there other sports that you look at and are like, okay, like this is really fun? Not even ski. Like, okay, maybe you ski sometimes, but are there other aspects or other sports in general that you're really into?
Yeah, I've gotten into mountain biking a lot in the last couple summers because we got some new trails put in that are more modern than, you know, like the old single track stuff. And I rode my dad's bike for a while, but I got my own Intense. That's so nice. And like last summer, I also got shin splints in the spring, so I couldn't run. So it was the perfect storm for just biking every other day. And that was really fun. And I can see myself doing that for a long time.
Is that like, would that be a go-to cross training for you? Like, cause I mean, you have to do other things to switch it up, right? Like you can't always just be just pounding cross country, or like, what are those? The roller skate things? Like, is that a thing that people actually use?
Yeah. I mean, we do that all the time.
I'm sure they do. And like, I'm just like, I'm not a super educated, like in terms of like the training and what goes into it. It's like Fisher is a main sponsor of ours and they make those things. And I'm just like, okay, like it'd be really fun to like nuke down a hill on those, but I imagine that's not what they're actually used for.
Yeah. I mean, they're a great training tool, but people don't, I mean, some people use them outside of training, but most people just use them training for the winter.
Yeah.
And they're not the worst thing in the world, but like most people when they retire from skiing are pretty adamant that they're not going to roller ski ever again.
Yeah, it makes sense.
But yeah, I mean, like we definitely, you can't roller ski for every session. So I like roller skiing is probably the main one, but running is used a lot and I like to bike a lot. Some people don't necessarily as much. Part of it's a skill thing, I think. But like I'm good enough at this point that it's a too good of a workout a lot of the time. And yeah, it definitely checks a box that I need.
Have you, as someone who's like, you're in the sport, you're involved with everything, have you felt there was a huge kick up in cross country skiing this past year? Have you felt any of that, like in your own personal, like, have you seen more people out on cross country skis? Like, because everybody I know got cross country skis this year. Like that's what they were into. That's what everybody wanted to do. And they were sold out from every brand. It felt like, and people are sold out for next year already. Are you seeing, as an athlete, are you seeing any benefit to that? Are you seeing anything come of that at all? I guess.
Yeah. I think the first wave of that probably doesn't impact elite athletes so much, but it's cool to see so many people out on the trails, like at night on a Tuesday, like in the winter before I left for racing, it was like so many more than I'd ever seen, really. Like sometimes there are a lot of people out there, but usually it's like the junior Nordic groups and stuff, but there are a lot of just people going out and skiing.
Yeah.
And that was fun to see. Partly, I think, like selfishly down the road, that's going to mean more money in, you know, like Rossignol's pockets for promotion and for supporting their top level of athlete. But I don't know. Yeah. Just seeing the sport do well in general is a good sign, I think, for us as elite athletes and just caring about the sport. You know, more people that ski those trails, they're going to want to put some more trails in, and maybe they're going to put a restaurant in at the parking lot instead of it being the classic cross country, pull up in your car, get out, work super hard for an hour and then leave and have your granola bar.
Yeah.
And like turn it into more of a, yeah, more of a community and fun thing, just because there's more people and a more diverse like group of people out there.
Yeah. Yeah. It'll be interesting to see how everyone handles it, like how the industry as a whole handles it, how the different areas handle it in terms of infrastructure, because, and bike is kind of seeing the same thing right now where so many people are out now doing this thing that, you know, trailheads are full. Like people are like kind of stacked up everywhere, just out doing these things that don't really have the same experience level that somebody else does. And it's funny. I was talking to somebody a couple days ago about the way he felt about it with bike, right? Because you can't get chains right now. You can't get tires right now. You can't get like anything basically. Yeah. And he was like, I want to be stoked for people, but I also am like, hey, like I've been doing this forever. Like I want to be able to get the stuff I want to get and, you know, actually be able to use the stuff that I want to go out and use. Is there any of that? Or are you just like, as an athlete, you're just like, okay, like I'm taken care of as an athlete and I'm just psyched to see people out there.
I mean, I did kind of run into that with, I asked for skin skis, like just classic Nordic skis with skins on the, where the wax goes. And I asked for some like suit, like hybrid backcountry skis, I guess, like Nordic boots, but metal edges and fish scale. So you can kind of like go in the mountains more. And they didn't have any of the metal edge ones, which because they're sold out. And I was like, well, damn. I was like, I guess it is kind of big. I was like, wait a second. Am I that sick? But no, I mean, I'm still excited about it because it means people are buying it. But I guess eventually if it was like, they'll always have race skis, I'm sure. So
yeah.
Whatever.
Yeah. It's different.
It is kind of funny to like think about that. And once in a while, like when the trails are really crowded, I'm like, you know, I would like to do some intervals, and it's not that easy with a bunch of new people out here who don't understand.
Yeah.
Like on the left or heads up. Like that's kind of, there are a couple times where I was like, maybe it's not that sick, but
yeah.
Actually, yeah, there are a couple times. Yeah, more than I think about it. I was like, wow. I was like, if this progresses, like, we would, like, just thinking long term, if it's really big and really persistent, which it might not be, like, if COVID, whatever, stops, people might go back to not cross country skiing.
Or not doing anything, yeah.
Or, yeah, exactly. But I was like, God, would you need, like, a racer loop, like, the same way?
Right.
Like, or like a specific training loop that you need to pay for or have a bib for, similar to an alpine mountain, you know, like setting up gates is part of that, but like we don't have that in Nordic. But yeah, I kind of did think about that. And in the spring, it hasn't been as busy. So that
hasn't been. For winter sports, it seems like there's a more definitive like dive off where like, unless you're like really hardcore into it, because we saw it with backcountry skiing too. In my shop, it was like everybody wanted skins. And then like now it's kind of eased off because people want to move on with their lives, I think, for a lot of it. And I think cross country will see that as well. But it just seems like that shortage and like the interest hasn't really weaned off yet, I guess. Like it's still pretty strong. So I don't know. Yeah. We'll see what happens. It's weird, man. Like I don't know how I feel about it. It's like I think it's probably good for the sport, but it's also like you're dumping so many new people into Nordic bike, regular skiing. It's amazing to see, but it's also like, I don't know, it feels dumb and like kind of douchey to be like, I feel like everybody needs a crash course and training so that everybody can kind of like figure out the basics so that they don't get hurt, so they can use their gear correctly. But it's like, that's not a thing, you know?
Yeah. I'm sure people wouldn't be like mad at like, if I were anything I'm new at, I'm like, please give me a
tell me
course.
Yeah, I want to learn expert.
Like I want to know, and I want to like not be annoying to you guys, but I do want to enjoy it. And I think like overall, if it keeps up, it's positive because like everyone adapts and areas will adapt and trailheads will get bigger and like bike trails will be like maybe more sectioned.
Yeah,
I don't know. Stuff
and
like
more
that.
Money in the pocket of sponsors. And I mean, that's really, at the end of the day, it's like, I'm always advocating for people to like get paid more, brands to pay for stuff that they should be paying for. And the only way that's going to happen is if there's more involvement in the sports that we all like to do. So I think that is a good thing at the end of the day. It's just
takes time to react to it.
Yeah. It's just growing pains. I think that's all it is.
Groups. Yeah.
You did 126 mile cross country ski tour. What's up with that? Yeah, what's up with that? Like, what's the deal? Like, were you just like, oh, I'm bored. Let me spend 10 hours on the skis and just like, also 4 minutes a mile, 4:17, I think it was, a mile is fast, I feel like, right? Like, that's kind of nuts.
Yeah, we found some icy stuff for sure. it started last spring with COVID for us. Obviously people have been doing long skis forever.
Yeah, but right.
Last spring I did 100K with some friends because we were like, someone did it. Someone did a really long one and then someone did a longer one. And then one of my friends did 100 miles. And then another one of my friends was mad that they kind of did it in secret. They like went out there and then posted on Strava. And he was like, why didn't you invite me? I wanted to do this. So he did, I think he did like 150 miles.
God damn.
Alone. He did it alone. But going into this spring, you know, like a month ago when we were kind of done with racing, we were like, we were talking about the spring plans. Like we should do these backcountry trips and we got to do some 100Ks when it's nice and sunny. And you always like remember it as better than it actually was.
But yeah.
Yeah. So this, we had kind of been planning it and then we were like, oh, it's like we had a pretty big thaw on Sunday and then it froze again. So it was fast snow. And so we were like, let's pull the trigger. Let's do it. And so, yeah, we did it yesterday. Started at 7 a.m.
Oh,
brought like so many snacks out there.
Can I like ask why? Like, all right, so I get racing, yeah. I get training, right? Like people do these things like on a bike, for example, it's like it's not uncommon to do a 100-mile race. Like it's reasonable to assume that. So people ride 100. You're not doing a 100-mile cross-country race, I don't think, are you?
No, it's...
You're just like, oh, I'm going to go spend 10 hours on skis.
It's bad for my race.
Yeah, right. That's what I'm saying. You're just like, we want to do it. We have time.
Do it, I guess. Because it's spring and nothing really matters that much in training right now. So
how do you feel? Like, how do you feel now?
I'm tired. Yeah. I was like kind of swollen this morning, like my legs and stuff felt like after you were on an airplane for a really long time.
Yeah, yeah.
Like kind of puffy. Ugh. I'm feeling a little better now, but yeah. It was tough, but it feels so good to be done. And my girlfriend brought us pizza afterwards and we just demolished some pizza and
yeah, that's somebody sent me that like right before actually Jacob, from Blizz sent me a little while ago and he was like, hey, like, did you see this? Like, this is, and I'm like, dude, what? I don't know what, what would possess you to do that?
I mean, like,
on Nordic skis?
The mental drive to do that.
Yeah. That's 10 hours, bro. Like, that's 10 hours. Yeah. That's a long time.
Yeah. But you've, that's not like a cross country ski only thing. Like, there are 100-mile mountain bike races, but
for
people
sure.
Also mountain bike for like 3 days. And
I know,
like feats of endurance are,
But it feels different. Like it feels different for cross country. Like I've spent 10 hours on the bike, on a mountain bike and a road bike before. And like, I think neither are impressive to me. Like, but on cross country skis, I feel like at 4 minutes a mile, I think it was 4:17 a mile. Like that's fast. That's a lot of miles, dude. That's what I'm saying.
It was like 4:50.
It was still
it
fast.
Really matter.
Less than 5 minutes. Exactly.
We definitely found some icy stuff, which was kind of worse because it made like all your little supporting ankles and stuff have to work so hard when it's icy. That was the worst part for me, is my ankles and feet and shins were just dying. I mean, there were some other like,
I'm sure there,
but yeah, I guess it's different than being on a bike because it's like you have to be like so much more conscious, I think, than just like grinding away in circles. But
yeah, and I mean, like, I can tell you, like, when I spend that long on a bike, I basically black out after a certain point. Like I am not, there's nobody home. Like lights are on, legs are moving kind of, but it's definitely not impressive. If somebody sees you
that's what we do it for though.
Yeah. But like if somebody were to watch you while you're doing that, like they'd look at me and go, that dude is not an athlete. That dude is a zombie. He's not. That's what I feel like. Do you feel like that at the end of 100 miles, like 120 something miles?
I felt like that at probably 30 miles and then felt better and then felt again like that 50 miles.
Yeah, I guess that part is similar.
In the last 20 miles, I felt like that, but yeah. Did like one max speed at the end to see, just to do it in that type of environment. And honestly, your muscles can move pretty quick, but
yeah,
after that, you're just back to going up the hill. Like,
yeah.
I was like there, cause it was, we finished at like 7 PM. So there were just people out there skiing, and like the last hill up into the parking lot area, there were just people skiing up, and I did this speed right at the end and then came to a stop and was just like plodding up this hill next to someone who was on fish scales. And I was like, damn, I can't pass this person.
Have you ever had anyone call you out? Like when you're at the end of a hard workout, like, and somebody's like, somebody knows who you are and they're like, oh dude, like I'm crushing this dude right now.
I'm sure in their head. Yeah.
But nobody directly.
I think most, unfortunately, the heckling atmosphere in Nordic is maybe not as, no one really likes to heckle, I feel like, that much. But
I think heckling,
they really, if they really knew me, they'd be like, yeah. Like what are you doing?
But, yeah, let's heckle the shit out of them.
Yeah. It was funny because like there were groups skiing out there all day, and some of the coaches like started to pick up that we were still out there.
Yeah.
How long are you guys doing it? And like halfway through, we're like still looking pretty good. So
yeah.
I'm like, yeah, we're 110K deep. But yeah, at the end we were just like, I feel like people would say some stuff and I was just like not saying anything. Oh, that's how I got it towards the end, is I was just like,
yeah. Yeah. That's when you know though, like you just put your head down and you just, yeah, I can't even imagine. Yeah. let me ask you some stuff about training. What does that look like? Training for Nordic, like, is there specific things that you're like, okay, I'm really trying to work on, like, just cardio, I'm trying to work on legs, like, what is it that you're like, what do your goals look like? Like, what is there a specific objective for you in training? Like, what are you trying to improve?
Yeah, like, I mean,
and obviously it's just be fast, just but
yeah, like the biggest goal is to be faster, and then you got to look at like what it takes to be faster, which right. Everyone kind of thinks is different. And then you got to take like what do you need for yourself to be faster, like what to emphasize in that like group of things. So I, for myself, I feel like, you know, like basically you need a strong engine, so like good cardio and blood flow, lungs, and then you also need like, you need to be strong, like strong in the max sense, like pushing resistance. You need to be, your muscles need to have like really good endurance. I think that's one of the biggest things, is like being able to use that strength over and over, and you need to be pretty quick for mass starts and stuff. So like there's a lot of different things that you can't all train at once, but yeah, I think the biggest things, I think people think it's a little too much cardio even at the elite level, like they'll love their running workouts because they're like, this is just making my engine better. But then they hit a race and their muscles die.
Yeah.
Which I think I've seen a lot, especially in the US. It seems like you just, if you're fitter, you're faster. But I think that fitness, people overlook the muscle endurance a little bit. And that, like, I train that. I mean, on roller skis is a really good way to do that. Like, adding a little bit of resistance if you can of the hill and just like sort of grinding or going a little faster, or specifying legs and arms. So if you're only using legs or only using arms, that helps with that. Honestly, mountain bike, I think you see a lot of mountain bikers have success in skiing and vice versa, because I think you get a lot of good leg endurance from that, especially with like the higher up and higher spikes and troughs of power output in mountain versus road biking.
Yeah.
Although I know they're both pretty similar.
Yeah, but it's different. Like, I mean, it what you're saying makes sense, because like the spike is definitely, I feel like, more severe in mountain biking, where like it's a full, you get to a hill and it's like, you have to put everything down in order to get to the top of that. And then you kind of get that mellowing out point somewhere in between, hopefully. And then you kind of like find your way through those peaks and valleys. And that to me kind of makes, I guess, more sense for
for Nordic. Like I said, I'm not a huge Nordic skier myself, so I'm not the best person to speak on that, but it makes sense to my head.
Yeah, I think it's like it's different for different people too, and and different courses. Like I'm a skier that likes to ski hard and recover and like use the terrain to like push hard on a hill and like know that I have a downhill coming up where I can straighten my legs a little bit.
Mm.
And there are people that like to keep it really consistent. And like, you know, if you're racing at altitude or a flat course, that's more like road biking. Cause you just got to like
right
put down your highest average watts for an hour.
Yeah.
Essentially.
Yeah. Makes sense.
So yeah, I think a mix of that, is good.
Yeah. What do you have something in your, like, do you have a particular event in your mind or something that you look back on at this point in your career that you're like, all right, that was the moment in my career when I kind of felt myself go over the edge. Like I felt like it was like, I've kind of made it in terms of being a cross country skier. Was there an event in particular that you were like, okay, my best result here, or like just showing up to a place and being like, okay, like this is legit. Like this is where I am now.
I feel like, there's definitely been a few races that you mean like events that made me feel like I kind of passed a threshold a little bit.
Yeah. Kind of like you're like, all right, because I think for a lot of people, especially like when they're trying to make a team or they're trying to be like a professional athlete, you see it with free skiers a lot, right? Where they're like, okay, I did this one shoot or I did this one contest or this one competition where I was like, I'm here and here's these other people that I've looked up to as an athlete for a long time and I'm competing against them. Or it's like, oh, I was on this stage and I felt like I really had it. Like I put it down and that was my moment kind of. Have you had that kind of thing happen yet?
Yeah. I mean, this year I got a couple top tens on the World Cup, which like those happened in like January. And when I wasn't racing as fast in late February, March, I found myself going back to those being like, this is where I can be.
Yeah.
If I'm so like, I'm not doing as well, but I know I'm better than that. And I think I've had results along the way that just built on that. Like my junior worlds win was what I used before that when I wasn't doing so well. I'm like, if I can perform there, I can perform other places too. And then, yeah, I show up the first weekend on the World Cup feeling like excited to be there, but not necessarily like one of the guys.
Yeah.
But then eventually like got a couple of those top 15, top 10s. And I was like, all right, like I'm here. I can do what I need to do. I might not do what I need to do today, but, and then my guess is I'll get a top 5 eventually and maybe a podium. And then I'll be like, okay, this is what I can do. And then when I'm off the mark, I'm like, I know I can be back there because I've been there before. I think that's just like a gradual build.
And you have those conversations with, and the reason I ask that is because as a 20-year-old, like you're a young guy, like that's a lot of weight on your shoulders to be like, okay, like, do I belong in a World Cup situation? Like, I imagine there has to be some kind of like, unless you're the most confident human being that's ever lived, I imagine there's some questions in your head, like, okay, like, should I be here? Right.
Yeah. I think you got to probably not think about it too much if you just are automatically like, cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. This fall, I was like, not in perfect race shape and in a time like, when I was still home, didn't win the time trial. And I was like, man, if I'm not winning these time trials at home, then how am I going to do as well as I want to do on the World Cup? And then, you know, yeah, that was probably my biggest like rough moment there. And then my first World Cup stuff wasn't so bad, but then the Norwegians left and I thought I'd do a lot better and I didn't. And then I was like, God, I wonder if it's ever going to click on the World Cup. And then I got some good results and I was like, all right, I'll be good.
Yeah.
It's crazy how much the results impact it. But I was like, there's really not too much of a way around it. Like you can't, like you can tell yourself I'm better than that all day long. But if you never are better than that, then you're not backing it up with anything, which is tough because, like, yeah. But once you back it up a little bit, you can be like, all right, I can be top 15.
Yeah.
If you're top 15 one time, you're like, all right, I can do that again. That's easier to back yourself up. But it is hard going into it sort of blind. Like, I'd raced one World Cup 2 years ago, and it's sort of nice a little bit because you don't know. You're like, I can do whatever I want here. It doesn't matter. But then you're like, well, I need to do something at some point.
Yeah.
And I hope I can.
Yeah.
Yeah.
That's a lot of pressure, man. Like, I don't know. Like, that's kudos to you. Because I think the mental aspect of it is a very under, like, it's been talked about more in recent years, I feel like. But yeah. In skiing, in any kind of skiing, the mental aspect of it is really, really important. Like, if your head's not in the game, your head's not in the game.
Yeah. Yeah. And I think you can be not that confident and still have your head in the game for yourself, I guess. Like,
you think so?
You can be confident in yourself, but not necessarily in winning or getting top 10. You can, like, if I showed up at the first weekend, I guess by the time the races came, I would say I was confident in myself because I was like, I know how to race a 15K. I'm just going to do it.
Yeah.
And I did all right. Not the best. And then, like, the next weekend, I didn't do as well as I thought I would. And then I started to be, like, not as confident in myself, which I think impacted me. And I think what helped is that I had a lot of teammates like, dude, it just takes time. And, like,
yeah.
It's, or, like, you may think you've been tapering for a month already, but these, like, training responses take different amounts of time for different people. And yeah, just being patient was my key there. And eventually the results did come, which, I mean, is a little lucky. Like, it's possible that those results had never come this year and I would have to be extra, extra patient.
Yeah.
And until next year or the year after, like, sometimes it's years.
Yeah.
Which is hard. And I'm sure why a lot of people stop elite racing is, yeah, like how long do you wait? Because sometimes,
yeah, when you call it quits, that's a question too, right?
I've had teammates that, yeah, like, had some success, top 20s, top 30s, but just stuck with it and, like, got podiums this year. Like, Rosie Brennan,
yeah,
has had a little bit of a bumpy career with, like, she got mono, and but she came from NCAA and raced World Cup and didn't have any podiums, and then this year she won several World Cups and was almost top three in the distance, the overall distance standing. So, like, but she's, I don't know exactly how old she is, but she's been doing it at least 10 years.
Yeah.
And it's like, that patience is impressive. And I think, yeah, the part is, like, you love the sport for more than the result.
But how much do you love it?
Right. The results, I guess you just love the 200Ks.
Yeah,
God, can you imagine doing that every day? I was thinking that when I was out there. I'm like, I am so glad this isn't an actual thing I have to do for my training, because it would be just brutal.
Yeah, that's trash.
Like, 200Ks were like, all right, Sunday 200K, let's go. Like, that's how you get better. I'd be skeptical.
Oh my God. No, dude, doing anything for 10 hours seems miserable to me. It's like, that's
I don't do many things for
10 hours. Exactly. What do you do? Like, you work a 10-hour shift at a job, like, and you're, you know, screwing around half the time, and it's like, that's brutal. But, like, doing a physical activity for that long, it's, yeah, it's a lot. Let me ask you, and we'll wrap up with this, I think. What is it like? Do you have an agent, first of all? Like, do you work with an agent at all?
I do not. I've thought about it, but I do not yet. My dad helps me sometimes.
So what is it like dealing with sponsors? Like, that's got to be a really hard thing. And the reason I ask is because for young people, this is always a struggle, right? Is like getting new sponsors, figuring out how to pitch them, because nobody teaches you these things. Like, they're just, and nobody knows what the standards are for other athletes, like what people are getting. Like, and it's so easy for a brand to have all this information and kind of take advantage of you. How do you avoid that? How do you navigate that? Like, what is all that? And I'm not, like, asking you to, like, spill the beans on your contract, but, like, tell me how that conversation goes and how you work that out.
Yeah. To start, I think it's easier with gear stuff. like, because everyone, there's a pretty established, like, row of steps that you take for, like, skis. Like, you're going to get reached out to.
Yeah.
And you're not going to know how much you're worth, which I think is kind of the hardest thing.
That's what I mean. That's the hard one.
Yeah, like, it's easy for them. It helps if you get multiple offers, because then you can kind of eBay them for you. And then they decide what you're worth, which makes sense to me. But yeah, like, other sponsors I've had a tough time with. Like, I don't have a headgear sponsor yet. Cough, cough. Because, you know, I've reached out in town, and that's something that my dad's been helpful with, is like talking to his friends, basically. It's like a lot of it is just connections. But yeah, like, and yeah, I've had a lot of help from teammates, especially Jessie Diggins.
Yeah.
She's really into the marketing stuff, and
she kills it.
She's good at it. Yeah. And she's quick to offer help too. And I've sat down and talked with her a few times about different stuff, like how to navigate it generally, and then specific things with specific contracts, like should I take this, like how much should I ask for the headgear stuff. And she helped me with my like ski resume, which that was kind of a headgear thing. And I mean, other stuff has been just companies reaching out for like small time, try our product, and we're not gonna pay you, but you don't have to do anything.
Does that bother you? Like, so like that, and I will say, I will throw myself under the bus before I throw you under the bus. Like, I don't like that. I hate when companies do that, because I'm like, okay, I'm showing you the product. I'm showing you that it's worth it. I really appreciate that you want to give me stuff, but like, giving me stuff doesn't pay my bills. It doesn't pay for my whatever I'm doing. Like, I don't like, and I'm not saying everybody should pay me or everybody should pay you. Yeah. I mean, that'd be nice, but it's not the reality, right? Like, it's some brands it's going to work out for, but brands that approach you without the intention at all to pay you is what I don't like, I guess.
Yeah. It's annoying to me too, but when they do that, I'm like, I can't give you anything then. You can give me this product, and I'm just not going to do anything.
I get that, but I know.
It sucks. I was like, because some of my teammates just retired, and my mom was like, what should we get them for their house? And I was like, I'm sure they have so many things.
Yeah.
And they have access to so many things, because if they're like, we want a toaster, will you sponsor us, toaster company? Like, we'll give you a free toaster. Like, but they can't pay the rent with that.
And I don't want to sound spoiled, right? Like, I don't want to sound like, you know, oh, like everybody wants to give me, like, I'm not saying that, but I'm saying, like, as an athlete, for you and like for whoever, shouldn't the intention be to like support this person for real? Like, things don't like, things like this don't just, like, you got to pay the bills, man.
And like, like, products can help you, but I don't know.
Yeah, they're giving me a sauna. Like, I don't need
this stuff. It's cool to be able to get stuff, but it's not, I would prefer, like, it'd be sick for someone to reach out and be like, hey, we're going to give you product solely so you can take pictures of it and post it and stuff, and we're going to pay you for that.
Yeah.
You don't even need to use it, really, which I guess is kind of fake, which is maybe a bigger problem.
Who cares, dude? At this point, cash checks. Like, that's really how I really believe that. Like, I do, because this is not the NBA, you know? Like, we're not all, like, we're not phoning it in here. You know, everybody in this industry, in skiing and in bike and whatever, in the outdoors.
I don't have money.
Everybody's working their ass off. What happens if you get hurt? Dude, you know, like, you got to get paid, man.
Yeah. No, I mean, one thing is, like, my sponsors that are, like, truly around for me, like, my skis and stuff, are good about that. And the ski one, I guess they're doing a lot of other stuff for me.
Yeah.
But those companies are actually pretty quick to be like, hey, we really appreciate that you're on the team and we want to pay you for it.
Yeah.
Which is like, and they'll also do, here's a thank you card, because like those people I'm very close with, which is awesome. Yeah. I love, but they'll also be like, yeah, they'll toss a dog a bone.
Yeah.
Which, yeah, no, I mean, not, people don't have a whole lot of bones to toss around usually, but
yeah,
I don't know.
It's a weird
world for sure. And I hate selling myself. Like,
same. Yeah. It's like, not, I can't even imagine how hard it must be as an athlete, dude.
I can like write all these beautiful things about myself and then never look at it and just send it when someone asks and just kind of.
Have you thought about getting an agent for that reason? Like getting somebody that's just going to dial that in?
And I think the biggest thing is maybe negotiations is like.
Right.
Like the thing where an agent can be like, no, he's worth this versus me being like, you know what? Like I do think I need to set a standard for myself. That's what I usually say actually is like, I need to place a worth on myself. Otherwise there's no, like, otherwise I don't have worth. If I don't give myself a monetary worth, then I'm not worth anything monetarily.
Yeah. That's weird to say, isn't it?
This is separate from me as a human.
Yeah.
This is me as in a marketable.
This is your brand.
The brand, exactly.
Yeah. This is Gus the brand. That's a very.
Especially when people ask me to post, I'm like, it's X amount. And I've looked up like what a certain amount for how many followers you have is. And it's not actually that much. But
yeah.
But it's nice to know that that is like a post for X followers is worth this amount. So that's the one I have to offer is worth that.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I think that's cool.
It's like, I don't really know how much I'm worth. Like how much would I actually bring?
What is headgear? What is that? What do you look like? What does that mean exactly? Like what kind of brand are you thinking in your head?
I reached out to a local shipping company and I mean like some people get big stuff like airlines, some people have smaller.
Oh,
like,
got it. Okay. See, I didn't even get what you meant at first.
Oh yeah. Just like the title sponsor.
Yeah. I got it. That makes sense.
Which like I think for really good people that can be like I'm like 100,000 if you're really good. But
yeah.
And that's one that when I talked to Jesse, she was like saying how that needs to be pretty guarded for yourself. But also for the value of other people for headgear. Like if you give your headgear away for $1,000, then everyone's going to be like for the next, friend,
no,
they're
going to
be
sense.
Like, no dude, that's worth $1,000. And then he's kind of screwed at that. So like, it's sort of like unionizing a little bit.
Totally.
I don't know if anyone really, I don't know the numbers on a lot of people, which is.
No. Which, and I don't I mean, think whatever. It.
It's private, but it's like, it is something that, it wouldn't hurt for us all to be like, what are we doing here?
We have like a similar issue, I think, with podcasts for ski, like, because we all have sponsors, we all have legitimate sponsors, and it's like, okay, what are you charging per episode? Like, what do you charge if it's a ski brand versus another brand? It's like, it's very, and this is very like kind of inside baseball, I guess, but it's like, it's important to know what other people are charging, because like if I'm giving, you know, $100 an episode away and then the next guy who's getting the same downloads as me is, you know, is charging $600, you know, that sponsor is now going to go to me because I'm, you know, a fifth of the price. Like it's, and that's like, that's not right. Yeah. And I don't want to do that, but I don't know what everybody else is doing. So how can I not do that if I don't know what the standard is?
Yeah. Like in most areas of whatever, the market, like they know each other's prices and they match it or say I'm a little bit better. So I'm a little bit more expensive,
right?
Which also makes sense. You know, Joe Rogan can charge
totally.
More than
absolutely.
You. Shit.
Yeah.
But like a similar one you guys should be charging about the same.
Yeah.
No. But it's hard to know because no one posts their prices.
Exactly. And nobody's like, oh, I made this much this year. And if they are, you're like, oh, that guy's a dick. You know, like it's not like, it's a weird thing, man. And I don't envy, that's why I ask, like, cause you are, you're 20, like that's gotta be a hard thing to navigate, but it's gotta be nice to have people in your corner like Jesse who can be like, all right, this is kind of what things are like. This is how you kind of do it. This is what a ski resume is.
Yeah.
So,
and people that have gone before me, especially in Alaska and seeing what other people do,
cause
a lot of it is locally based. Like as far as American cross country skiers, we don't have a ton of value to like big companies unless we're Jesse and we're getting on New York Times and all this stuff.
Yeah.
You know, like most people around my current level are like, like I have an impact on my community big time, I'd say,
yeah.
which I'm very proud of. And I think that means that local businesses, I think, do have an incentive to sponsor me, but like Comcast doesn't have much of a reason to sponsor me.
Right. Yeah.
Hopefully right. that can change, but yeah.
And that's only going to change if more people get in. Like, I mean, that's literally full circle right there. Like that's only going to change if more people are in the sport and more people care and more people are clicking on links on websites, you know, like that's what it is at the end of the day. It's like, I can sit here and complain like, oh, there's too many people at the trailhead. But at the same time, like I shouldn't be complaining about there not being enough money in skiing and cycling and whatever, you know?
But yeah. If you ride an intense bike and all those people see you on an intense bike and that makes it, that sells
totally.
More intense bikes than intense, then you have more worth to intense. And then you can, and then they're doing better and you can be like, oh, I saw a bunch of people. I don't know how much that worked. Cause the pole brand that I started on 4 years ago is now pretty big locally and it's not anywhere else. Like I don't see them anywhere else. So I feel like I sold a bunch of poles. And so I feel good about myself with that brand. And it's kind of cool to like see like the actual point of a sponsor working. Cause a lot of the time you like see someone like with, I don't know, so like a local telecommunications company. And I'm like, how many phones did you really sell? You know?
Yeah. No, but that's a good feeling. Like when you sell and you're like, I know how many, like, I know I did a good job for that. Like I can see it. It feels good. Like, cause you don't just want as much as we're like pay. Like it's not about the money. It, like we do this sport because
when I go to these people, I'm like, I would love for this to be a two-way street. And I think
100%.
I want to believe that I can help the company that I'm partnered with. And it's not just them donating. Cause I mean, whatever, like if someone really wants to donate, they can donate. But, and I guess, you know, you're giving back to them a little bit. If you're entertainment for them, then it's just like a dude who owns a company. He's like, I like watching you. So.
Yeah, I guess. But it's like, it's much better to me if it works both ways. And then it's also like, it's not like you owe them anything either. You don't have that like, oops. Oh, it looks like Wi-Fi cut again, but it is what it is.
Yeah.
But yeah, if it goes both ways, then it's like, you don't owe each other anything. You both feel good about it. Yeah. And even if you guys decide to like amicably split, you guys decided that and you're both happy with the relationship and you can revisit later. Yeah. Like, I think that's a really good thing. And that's an important thing to know because there's so many times when, you know, a product isn't good or, you know, the relationship just doesn't fit and it doesn't work out. And then like, you know, it just doesn't happen. But in the beginning it was all about the money.
Yeah.
And if it doesn't work, it doesn't work. And you can't force those things.
Yeah.
So.
Yeah. It's interesting how it all plays out.
For sure.
Like, yeah.
All right. That's it, I think. Gus, tell people where they can find you on social media, anything you got going on, anywhere else people can find you on the interwebs. Tell people what's up. Oh, God damn it. No, we're good. We're good.
You cut out there. I want to make sure you can hear me.
Yeah, I can hear you. This is like the one part that actually matters here.
Yeah. You've got to really enunciate. Well, it's Gus.Schumacher on Instagram. Gus Schumacher on Facebook. I'm not that active there, but I do post links to my blog there. And that website is just GusSchumacher.com. And there's a blog link at the top that actually this winter I was really pretty consistent about updating. And I think I entertained some people and some of it was probably a little boring, but I thought I got some good pictures up on there. So
sick.
I think that's, Instagram and there are probably the best places to follow along.
Awesome. Well,
if I have anything big coming up, I'll announce it on those things. But as of now, I don't really have anything noteworthy.
That was the episode with Gus Schumacher. Hope you guys enjoyed it. Be sure to go to www.enjoywinter.com and you can use promo code OUTOFBOUNDS40 to save 40% off and get free shipping. So I hope you guys enjoyed that talk. We'll talk to you guys on Thursday. But I'm not sure who. Oh, yeah. And be sure to listen to the Wednesday episodes with Mr. Adam X. I don't know who he has this week. It'll be a surprise for me as well. So talk to you guys soon. Bye.